Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Automotive Axles Limited Q4 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sailesh Raja from Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Faizan. Good afternoon to all. On behalf of B&K Securities, I would like to welcome you to the Automotive Axles Q4 FY22 earnings call. From the management side, we'll be hearing from Mr. Tinmaya, MD and CEO, Meritor India, Dr. N. Muthukumar, President and COO, Meritor India, and Mr. Nagaraja, President and Whole-Time Director, Automotive Axles, and Mr. Ranganathan, CFO, Automotive Axles. We'll commence the opening remarks with Mr. Tinmaya, following which we'll have an interactive Q&A session. Yeah, over to you, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Good afternoon. Thank you very much for joining our investor call today. We are very glad to take you through our quarter and the year how we ended. Before I just hand over the floor to my team members, I just want to have a quick introduction. We have one new member today on the call. First time he's joining, so I'll just go around and introduce my team. We have Muthukumar. He's the Chief Operating Officer for the group, Meritor and Automotive Axles as a group. We have Nagaraja, as Sailesh was mentioning. He recently joined us as Whole-Time Director and President for Automotive Axles. He is not new to our company. He used to be in Meritor as an engineering head, and then he was transferred to our headquarters in Michigan, Detroit. He spent around 5 years there as a foreign assignment. Now he has come back and joined Automotive Axles as Whole-Time Director and President. Then we have, of course, Ranganathan, he's the CFO for Automotive Axles. Now I'll let Muthu take through the business, Ranga on the financials, and Nagaraja on the operations slides, please. Muthu.
Thank you, Tinmaya. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining for this Automotive Axles earnings call. Thanks, B&K Securities for organizing. I'm just going to give a snapshot of business and how we performed. I think our FY22 revenue stands at 1,493 crore sales with an EBITDA of 138 crore, 9.3%, and a PBT of 100 crore, 6.7%. You know, we have manufacturing locations at four locations. Mysore, the mother plant where majority of the operations are happening. Just to information of everyone, this plant is 40-year-old and along with joint venture is between Meritor and Kalyani. We have facilities at Jamshedpur, where we do the brakes manufacturing and the tag axle manufacturing for the customers, predominantly to the Tata Motors. We have a facility at Pantnagar, where we manufacture and assemble brakes, predominantly for Ashok Leyland and Pantnagar plant. We have a facility at Hosur, where we do the suspensions and value additions for Ashok Leyland plant. You all know, but just to remind you, the equity share of this business, Meritor Incorporation at USA at about 35.5% and Kalyani Group 35.5%, and the rest is in the public. We have more than 2,000+ employees working for this business, transforming this mobility business in India, and dedicated team which is working right from the new product development to execution of the project and serving the customers in India. We have all the major PV, specialty and defense OEM for our customers. We'll talk about in subsequent slides. We have the products where we make axles, brakes, and suspension systems. In terms of the market position, we are number one axles as an independent manufacturer and number two in brakes. Just want to get an update to all of you on the COVID. The company has gone through all the protocols in the last 2 years, and more than 99% of our employees are vaccinated in both the dose, and the booster dose is being organized for the employees. We have zero active cases at this plant, and some of the key initiatives that we are working is a continuous awareness campaign for sensitizing employees and their families on COVID, appropriate behavior, regular communication by the leadership team to ensure that adherence of protocol in the plant, outside the plant, and in their home. A shift to alternate working pattern to make sure that we follow the protocol. A continuous sanitization throughout the plant and office areas. Of course, initiating disposable material for ensuring the protocol adherence. As you all know, we have a diverse end market, and our major customers include Ashok Leyland, Tata, Mahindra, Daimler, Semmel, Volvo Asia Commercials. We supply to Bharat Forge for the defense. We supply to Volvo, currently UD Truck, Caterpillar for the specialty axles. We also supply to VFJ facility at Jabalpur for the defense. And we do a little business with Bemel, Godrich, and Cargotec. So your companies continue to focus not only on commercial vehicle business, but also penetrating into defense, off-highway, construction business, and component business. Meritor and Automotive Axle has the most comprehensive axles and brakes offering, right from, we call it as a 10X axle, which goes from 6-ton to about 55-ton truck. We are supplying to both buses and coaches. Meritor has a product variety to that level. That means each and every category of the commercial vehicle business, we offer a solution to the customers, and not only in axles but also in brakes. And that is what is appreciated by customers, and we continue to grow with them. We are present in light, medium, heavy, and extra heavy. And the companies also continue to innovate the product, continue to introduce new products, which is catering to the various customer demands. The BS6 launch has been one of the successful for your company, and we have launched almost all the models which have been running successfully well. With that, I will hand over to Mr. Nagaraj for running the next two slides. Nagaraj, then I'll get back on for Freedom today.
Yeah, good afternoon. So as you can see, Automotive Axles has a full-fledged axle assembly plant where we have already implemented a robotic paint shop. And then our complete NX line has been equipped with Industry 4.0. All the information with respect to the part traceability, sub-assembly, and the customer product information is captured as a part of this MIS. So we have been working towards aligning ourselves to make the whole operation digital. While we have just started now, a couple of lines have been already completed. Our target is by end of this year, this whole transformation is going to be completed. And from the technology perspective, again, this is as a part of enhancing the digital manufacturing or Industry 4.0. All our processes, whether it is welding, machining, gear, or assembly, every step and every process, we are capturing all the required information, significant and critical parameters. This will enable us to deliver to our customers the best-in-class products. And go ahead, please.
Go ahead, Nagaraj. You have completed that slide on technology.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nagaraj, for highlighting the focus areas in operations and adapting to Industry 4.0. Ladies and gentlemen, your company is the key action that we continue to focus to make sure that our business successfully. We work on business growth strategy to get into the new business wind and continue to work on expanding our share of business with all the OEMs. The product development, the team is doing an excellent job in terms of launching 4 different platforms last year to ensure that we are competitive and reliable in the market. We are driving the e-mobility business, and that is going to be one of the core business in the days to come. Like Mr. Nagaraj explained, digitalization and implementation of Industry 4.0 is one of the key initiatives we are taking to make sure that the business continues to keep grow. And we are geared up the capacity, seeing the market, and to make sure that the increasing demand when it is going to come, we cater all the customers at the right time with the right OTA. We continue to work on cost measures to be competitive. The cost reduction measures are an organization pillar. A significant savings expected through Mission 2022 timeframe, and further cost measures on place in terms of conversion, material, manpower cost control. The company continues to follow on safety protocol, a vaccination drive, and of course ESG drive and implementation progress. Ladies and gentlemen, we just wanted to touch base with you and update you on the various actions that the company is taking on sustainability ground. We have a clear roadmap that we have shared with the, from the current level, how we are going to become an excellence in sustainability by achieving ISO 26000 for CSR assurance, projects for sustainability in all the initiatives. Some of the key initiatives that our team has done, we will become carbon neutral by 2027, and we are also working on achieving the Deming Excellent Award. I will just take the next slide to show you on the sustainability index. At this point of time, your company uses about 30% of the power from a sustainable, a renewable measure. But we have an aspiration of taking our organization in the next 4 years to take up to 80% of the total power consumption by green energy. While your company continues to work on making the energy sources from the renewable energy, there is constant focus on reducing the power consumption per axle, converting the LPG to pure natural gas. These are the initiatives we are taking to make sure that our organization carbon emission continues to be less. In terms of the groundwater level, the company is a zero discharge plant and continues to work on harvesting water and usage of recycled water for 100% of the process. With various recycled ponds in the company, the groundwater level continues to grow, and we keep a track to make sure that we turn water positive. As a part of the sustainable manufacturing, we are focusing on each every element of carbon emission that's happening, whether it is an incoming material transportation carbon emission, or outgoing, or the employee. And there's been a clear indicator for us to work on how we improve upon our sustainability. As we indicated earlier, digitalization is key to take our organization to a paperless office and thereby continue to work on in a sustainable way. The company works on Social Connect through its CSR project, continuously working on environment road safety, education to underprivileged, and creating the talent, and of course, healthcare facility infrastructure in the local area to ensure the society at the large. As a part of the corporate governance, your company continues to work on reducing the attrition rate, improving the gender equality ratio, and working on employee engagement score. One of the key initiatives that we have taken is to engage the people more and more to make sure that your organization is very, very sustainable going forward and competitive. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I am requesting Mr. Rangarajan, CFO, to talk on the financial results and update to all.
Thank you, Muthu. Good afternoon to all. The financial performance for this quarter, they did about 552 crores as compared to 426 crores the same quarter last year. The revenue growth is close to about 30%. As far as EBITDA is concerned, we did about close to 11.3% as compared to 10.8% last year, the same quarter. In terms of absolute values, the EBITDA is close to about 625 crores compared to 459 crores, close to about 36% growth in the EBITDA absolute values. As far as the PBT is concerned, we did about 9.3% as compared to 8.5% in absolute value, the increase is about 42%. As far as the full year performance is concerned, overall revenue for this year, 21 and 22, it stands at 1,495 crores. As compared to 912 crores in the last financial year. All of you know 2021 was a COVID year, so the first 6 months performance was very average. So this year we were able to have the full year normal performance. So that's one of the reasons that revenue has gone up by 64%, and plus the beat of the market in the last quarter. EBITDA is for the whole year is about 138 crores as compared to 72 crores last year. That is about 9.3%, which is 7.9% last year. PBT is concerned, we closed this whole financial year at 6.7% compared to 3.3% last year. So this is the overall summary of the financial results. Just,
Go ahead. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Ranga, for presenting the financial performance. While the financial performance is, I'm sure that we would have met or even exceeded your expectations, your company continues to focus on the growth through the Mission 25 strategy. I remember a year before Mr. Timmaya presented to all of you on how we have a very clear strategy to take it, our penetration of the commercial vehicle in line with the market, and we continue to keep growing. We have given you, again, the market volume, what we are expecting for the coming year. I know that market conditions is very, very tough. While commercial vehicle continues to grow, there are a lot of uncertainty in line with what is happening in the Ukraine war in terms of the interest cost. But our customers, when we spoke to them, they're all upbeat about, because after the last 3 years of dull in the commercial vehicle, in the industry is trying to get back. So our projections is given, and you can all rest assured that your company will continue to focus and outgrow the market strategy. As we indicated earlier, our Mission 25 focus continues to be on enhancing our revenue, enhancing profitability, the new business plan to make sure that we continuously on working on this operations excellence, which Mr. Nagaraj talked about, and of course creating the value for customers. At this point of time, on our target of Mission 25, your company is on track. You all know that your organization continues to focus on innovation, continue to focus on customers, and we believe very strongly and we value that our employees are our strength. The company continuously engages the employee engagement initiative, which is one of the key for our success, whether it is giving a functional training or technical training or celebrating the festival or giving them the confidence post-COVID on emotional stability. Your company continues to work with the employees to see that they are highly engaged employees, which is really a success factor for us. Rewards and recognition for the employees is the key, and you can see the various initiatives within the organization which makes our employees feel that they are part of the family and making this organization to take it to our Mission 2025 objectives. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'll hand it over back to Mr. Timmaya for his closing comment and open up for the questions. Over to you, Mr. Timmaya.
Yeah, thank you, my team. I think, you can see that in the last quarter and the full year with this pandemic hit year, and also it's not a great time in terms of the overall automobile. Our team has performed exceptionally well, I would say. And we see a momentum from now onwards. The market is very good. The demand outlook is very good. We see this momentum continue to pick up. Unless there is some major problem happens which is outside of our control, commodity, war, COVID, I think we are in a very good path to surpass the best ever performance probably this year. With that, I will open up for the questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, wanted to understand this 30% growth that we see in the quarter and 65% that we see a growth in the full year. Is it possible to know what would be the volume growth for us?
Muthu, you want to answer that, please?
When compared to the last year, our in terms of the overall, we are just giving it in terms of the financial growth, which Mr. Ranga explained, because there are different axles and different prices. But on an average, the industry last year, the commercial vehicle industry has grown by 28%. And we are also seeing that the year that is going to come, we have a good outlook at this point of time. And April started very well for all of you, information gentlemen. So we believe that this year also is going to be about 28 to 30% growth.
Okay.
So, and now that question, you know, I think, you know, Muthu, in terms of the volume-wise, you know, if you can give an overall reference in terms of axles, how much we've grown compared to the previous quarter. You know, probably I'll just give you a rough number because we don't,
let's say I'll put it this way. In the 65% growth that we had, and let's say CV industry volume growth was 28%, what would be the indicative volume growth for us?
Maybe around 35 to 40%, I would say.
Okay. The capacity utilization that we would have at the end of quarter four, because obviously quarter four is a much higher number, the capacity utilization that we would have in quarter four would be what?
Would be still at around 75% level.
Okay.
You are perfectly right, Dhamir.
This will be three shifts put together or some calculation otherwise?
No, see, we operate some of the areas three shift because of the cost actions like heat treatment, etc., but some are two shift. But overall capacity, when we calculate, it's like a majority of them will operate three shift basis. So this is like, if I like to like comparison, if I do, you know, we are still at around last quarter, for example, we did around 550 crores. That was at around 75% capacity utilization, I would say.
And I just have to follow up, sir. Ashok Leyland, what would be our dependence, or let's say Ashok Leyland, what would should be the contribution indicative to our revenue? And we had a certain margin target, which we were sharing, I think, in the previous presentation. Where are we on that progress on margin?
So the customer-wise share of business or our wallet share, we don't disclose those data. And in terms of the margin expectation, I think we are pretty much in line. That I'm not talking about the full year perspective. Still, there is a way to go because EBITDA, if you see that, you know, we are still at around 11.3%, and if you all know that in the good year 18-19, we have crossed 12. So, you know, that is going to be our target to at least surpass our the best ever performance in 18-19. But quarterly, if you see last quarter, I think we had a really good, full year EBITDA 9.3 and last quarter is 11.3, right? So, we still have a little bit of room to improve, I would say.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Viraj from Securities Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for good set of numbers into the challenging environment. My question is broadly on two parts. One is, you know, if I have to understand the mission 2025, market much more better. And our, you know, efforts which have been taken. If you have to give some color, one in the sense that if you look at, say, axles or brakes, how would our market share change in last 1 year? Because there's also a certain amount of captive, sales which happen, say, from Tata Motors. So just trying to understand how would have that change for us in last 1 year across these two categories. And any aspiration you would have by 2025 that, you know, we have a certain market share target and what will guide that? And similarly on the cost part, how would our break-even, position really behave given that we have invested a lot in automation and other operational excellence initiatives? So how would have that change? So that is one.
Mm-hmm. No, in terms of the market share, only thing I can tell you is, this is what every investor call, we get this question and we answer in the similar way. Sorry for that. Now, we don't disclose the actual market share because of the complexity it has, because a lot of OEMs make their own axles and, you know, they do some contract manufacturing and some they buy. So we don't do the market share in specific to the customer and the overall market to the outsiders. But coming back to the cost actions, but one thing I can tell you is our market share is on an improving trend. That is mainly because if you have seen our previous presentations, we are doing a lot of new product introduction, we are getting into new segments. You know, those are all contributing into our market share improvements. In terms of cost actions, I will let Muthu answer that, please.
In terms of cost actions, I wanted to tell you the background of this. If you, I'm sure that most of you are aware, the commodity prices have gone very high, and your company has been, at least at this point of time, successful in getting any cost. But unless we improve it in all other areas like conversion, in terms of fixed cost, we can't continue. Like what presented by Ranga, our Mission 25 objectives on cost reduction is one of the key areas. And your company, I think last quarter, if you see, we have improved our performance in both variable cost and fixed cost, which is what led to this. So while we have an increased commodity on one side, which is impacting our profitability because of the wage impact, on the other side, we continue to work on cost reduction. For example, some of the areas I'm sure that Nagaraj touched upon, the digitalization of the plant is making us to see that how we can reduce out the white collar people, how we reduce our blue collar people, thereby increasing the productivity of the people. The same way, the various cost reduction initiatives, the sourcing initiatives that our team has done, continues to focus on reducing the power cost, reducing the fares, and working on. At this point of time, last quarter, the team has done an excellent performance, which is seen in the financial system. Hope I've answered your question.
Yeah, I understand, you know, there's a commodity inflation and it's kind of been difficult to understand the efforts we are taking. Hence, I kind of ask in the sense of the break-even point. You know, how would that change, you know, over last 1 year, last 2-3 years. So that is one. And, you know, the market share increase, which you talked about from new products, is that largely, you know, so is the captive part reducing and hence the overall pie is increasing and, you know, our share and are increasing, or the captive share is largely the same and then whatever new product launches we are seeing is, you know, within the existing, you know, offering itself. So that is one. And globally, there is a acquisition that has happened at the parent level, you know, Cummins has acquired Meritor, and post that, have we kind of seen any, you know, integration in terms of either on the sales and marketing side, given that they are more strong on CV and off-road segment, or in terms of the supply chain part? Any color you can give on that as well? Thank you.
Okay. Too many questions. I will answer the first two questions, and last question I leave it to Timaya on acquisition. First is on the break-even point. You know that we have expanded the capacity in the year 2019, continued to work on focus. One of the questions that was asked is, what is your utilization? Timaya answered that our utilization is about 70 to 75%, but you can still see what is the top line revenue that we got and the utilization what the plant has, which indirectly indicates that how we have improved our break-even point. I leave it to you, your judgment at that point of time. The second question, what you asked was, yes, our realization per axle we have improved because we have introduced a lot of new products which have improved the reliability, and thereby we are trying to get a more realization per axle. I think that is what is the growth in the top line growth that is happening. I think one of the questions you had asked is, what is the volume growth and value growth? You could have clearly seen that our value growth is more than the volume growth, which is basically coming because of the value addition and the reliability improvement product that we make, which is bringing more realization to that. With those two of two questions of you, I hand over to Mr. Timaya for talking about the acquisition and its impact to India business. Over to you, Mr. Timaya.
Yeah. Okay. You know, most of you would have gone through the announcements by Cummins and also their investor presentation globally, etc. I think this acquisition from Cummins' perspective, as we understand, is fits very well in their overall strategy of providing the complete powertrain solutions. So they are very upbeat about, you know, acquiring Meritor globally, and they are very happy about it. That's number one. The number two is, you know, this entire business is a add-on to them, which means that they don't make any of our kind of products to really optimize and integrate, but it comes as a new product vertical for them. So this is going to enhance the overall value for Cummins. And also coming back from Meritor perspective, it is extremely good acquisition, I would say, because we are investing Merit as a Meritor I'm talking. They are investing a big into electrification and future of e-mobility, etc. So with the resources and financial power coming as that investment can go multifold and we can go faster into the market. That said, from automotive axle perspective, at this point of time, we don't see any changes going to happen other than just the part ownership going to be changed from Meritor to Cummins. And as of now, still Cummins and Meritor are going through the shareholders approval process. They're going through the regulatory approval process and we are not talking to each other at this point of time. So we don't know at this point of time the overall how the integration is going to happen, what they're going to, how the alignment is going to happen. Once the regulatory approvals are happened, then we will start talking to each other. Then probably by next investor meet, we should be able to give more insight.
Thank you and good luck.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Shah from KSA Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen, and sincerely appreciate the whole team present to explain and help us to understand the company in detail. It was nice explaining about the Mission 25 focus of our company, but I would like in this perspective and the growth what we see current year also, and it's been endorsed by Tata Motors, Ashok Leyland also on the MHCV and bus demand coming in. Now we are working at 75% utilization. So what is the company's program ahead to enhance the capacity here on and take this company to a different league in next?
At this point of time, we don't plan to add any additional capacity in general. Yes, of course, we'll continue to invest into optimization, automation, and those kind of activities. As we said, we are still at around 70-75% utilization. With their continuous improvement, our capacity will always keep going up because of the productivity, etc. So we don't see a need to increase capacity at least for next 3 to 4 years. Why we are saying is by 2018-19 was the peak year. And the M&HCV segment from 7.5 ton and above was around 480,000 units. And last year we ended up with around, I think, 330,000 units or something like that, right? So still there is a huge headroom available to go into that piece. Maybe this year the overall industry might touch 380-390 level. Still a long way to go to meet the 2018-19 level. And, with our capacity enhancement, what we have done, I don't see any reason why we need an increased capacity for at least next 3-4 years.
Okay, so can you highlight upon addition of any new customers this year and coming ahead, and even new products introduced?
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. In terms of new customer, like I think the top commercial vehicle guys, we are working. But your company is also continuously working with a lot of new players that were supposed to come. There are about more than 10 players who come into electric vehicles manufacturing, at least in the plan. And we are working in every of this company, and we have securing business to make sure that our axles are used in those vehicles. In terms of the products, like what we presented, we launched 4 platforms in these days to come, like a 59, 160EO. I think these are the product numbers, but which have a very, very clear technical applications to ensure the reliability of the product is up. And different vehicle segments are coming and slides, and to be a competitive, we continue to work on this. For your information, the products that we launched with the largest axles in India for the 55-ton vehicle have been a grand success and doing very well. The tipper segment is what we produced and launched maybe this last two quarters. It's been in the transition stage now. Still, it has not completely done. It has been performing excellently well. Your company is also continues to work on focusing on the ICV segment, which is growing up, by introducing the product specifically for buses with Quiet Ride. And the latest addition to that is our axles of ICE or bus axles, which is going with Quiet Ride, and it is very well accepted by the customers that going. So the team is continuously working on with all the OEMs to make sure not only the traditional OEMs, but also with the new platform OEMs. We do not know who is going to come, but we are working with most of the people who get the business with new segments.
Sir, I sincerely appreciate your understanding, and being you as a technocrat, and I'm not too averse of that, but what I understand is that what we are talking is of a good growth coming into Indian economy, and where we are also optimistic about, I'm sure. And number two, that still there is a lot of penetration to be happen in MHCV side, bus segment, and new EE vehicles and all. So don't you think that by the time we exhaust the full capacity, we need to have some plan in place to enhance that to a higher levels from here?
You know, I completely agree with you. That's what I think we are trying to explain. See, this year means FY 2022-23. We are expecting the market to be at around MHCV 380,000 units. All the growth, what we are talking about, that will amount to 380,000-390,000 only, because last year, it was around 320,000-330,000. So even if you say 25% growth, it will go up to around 380,000-390,000. So we have capacity, and again, if you another 2 years of 20% growth also, if you take 2025, the market will go to around 500,000 level only by in another 2-3 years down the line. And as we said, we can handle, we have the capacity even if the market goes to around 500,000 level, which is last year it was 330,000 level. I think you are absolutely right that the market is growing, but you should also see that, you know, the base is really low compared to what the peak commercial vehicle market has hit in 18-19.
Is any new business wins? I'm sorry if I missed out that.
Yes, sir, we spoke about this. I just told you about the new bus axle business that we got. It's a Quiet Ride for an application in the bus segment, mainly full bus segment. The largest axle, which I told, for 55-ton tractor trailer with an OEM, and it is used for this. So we continue to win the business. We have about 6 platforms of axle that we have, and also in the brakes, we got the new business. And that is the primary reason why you are seeing that the value growth is going ahead much higher than what is the actual volume growth happening in the market.
We have even started getting business from Tata Group, because they have their in-house or Excel, and they were supposed to outsource from outside.
Sir, we are, as indicated earlier in many meetings, we supply brakes to Tata, and in respect of the axle, because they have enough capacity with them, they use as a layered capacity. And they use it for specific applications like some of the bus axles they get it from us, because Meritor is well appreciated in the end customers for its reliability. So we are supplying some axles, but rest of the axles, to be more frank with you, they have their own capacity, they know capacity. And that is the reason, like what Mr. Chimaya earlier indicated, the company is always fighting with many of the OEMs as their own axle manufacturing. We have to work around on that and innovate the products always to make sure that we are able to penetrate with them.
That's great, sir. Really helpful. Thank you very much, sir, and wish you good luck to you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Shah from Valcore Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Obviously, sir, in line with what everyone's been saying, it's been a commendable job done by the team. The first question I want to ask is, if I just compare what we did back in 2018, that was about 1500 crores, our turnover is pretty much around that point, and that time the market was at least 30-35% higher than, what we are right now. So just want to understand of this, how much do you think would be, gaining market share? And what would be volume growth, maybe even qualitatively, if you explain, I would appreciate that.
Sir, I think exactly you raised the point. When the market is less by 30%, we could still be able to achieve the value. That is because of the penetration of our share or introducing the value-added products. Both have really helped us in increasing. Of course, there is a commodity increase to a little extent is also there. So, but the two major initiatives are penetrating into the customer by increasing the share of business and also introducing a product where the realization more. These are the two that came in handy for us to achieve more growth. You are right. The market is at 25% lower than the peak or 30% lower than the peak. Still, we are able to achieve the same value.
Right. So second is on the strategy side. I think when we spoke, I think even in the past few quarters, you mentioned that besides the existing axle and brakes business we have, we are focusing on new products. Defense was also something that you were considering, and was exports. So of these three, relatively smaller areas, is there anything, can you tell us, at which stage in your life cycle are we at in terms of product development, where is, say, defense and maybe on export?
Thank you for that question. In terms of defense, there are about 11 platforms that we have worked in the last 4 years. And you know the defense spending, against what government has committed, still it has not achieved the full value because of various issues, because of COVID and all. But rest assured that your company is presenting all the programs that we have, and we will start getting into that business. Defense is a long-term game, and I think the securing the business at this point of time is what our company is focusing, and the real fruit of it is going to come when, really, I'm sure that in Atmanirbhar program, the government is committing that more than 60% of the purchases has to come from the local company. Your company has products in terms of the every segment, both for tactical and also transportation and logistics vehicles. So we'll continue to focus on that. In terms of the export, we continue to work. I think Mr. Timmaya explained last time on the challenges that we have in terms of export. The exports today, with a huge shipment cost that is happening, all of you know that it has gone up by 5 to 6 times. We continue to do a lot more to do to become competitive at this point of time. But we are continuously pursuing and working on improving our export business to us. We have a very clear aspiration for that, and we continue to work for that business. The same thing is happening into the other segments of business like suspensions and all. And you will come to here because when the new product is getting introduced, particularly ahead of the market, it's taking a little more time, but these are the long-term investments that we are doing, which will definitely make us, our organization, much, much stronger.
So is there an internal target, Mission 25 percentage, maybe 1/3 of turnover should come from this, or any number that, just to number, ballpark, whatever, if you can give us some idea.
Sir, like what Mr. Timmaya indicated earlier, normally we don't disclose the segment-wise actuals on this, but you can rest assured that the commercial vehicle cycle, which is going up and down, which is having a huge impact to all our business, we are trying to de-risk that by getting into this business. I think that is a general statement that I can give you, but rest assured that the organization is working on to make sure that whenever the commercial, you could have seen the commercial vehicle segment, how much it has gone, our drop is not to that level. That itself indicates that much of new business in different verticals are coming into.
Right. So lastly,
sorry that I'm not able to answer you the details because thank you, sir.
No, that's fine, sir. I appreciate it. Just one more question, sir. Right now, if we see majority of the areas where costs have gone up, employees have shot up, across the industry, raw material prices have shot up. There are supply chain constraints. In such a situation, we've been able to, come up with good margins. Otherwise, historically, any company, would see a drastic fall in margins if this is what would have happened. I'm just trying to understand the industry dynamics. Is there a situation where competition has come down significantly at industry level? Or if I'm missing out on any point, if you can highlight perhaps.
There are companies like us, Tier 1, which is supplying to OEM on one side, commodity increase. We are getting a huge pressure from both the sides. The customer is not able to pass on the money to the end customer, whereas the suppliers are not able to hold the price and the price is going up. The only assurance at this point of time, what I can give to you and what we have done, you could have seen the performances, how much we are doing a back-to-back with the OEM to see the impact for your company is not there. I think that is the area we have succeeded,
And if you see whether the competition is not active, no, every competition will be active. The only thing is, Meritor has been proactive in making sure that we have a reliable product, we have an upgraded product that's available to ensure that the customers has to, I would not say use the word depend on us, but customers have partnered with us to make sure that they continue to use the Meritor Axle, which is really helping us.
Understood. Sir, sorry, just one. The previous participant asked a question on capacity utilization. Mr. Timai also mentioned that at 500,000 units of volumes in that industry level, we would still be able to supply, and that's why we are not immediately looking at adding any capacity. Trying to understand this, I think was the number 600,000 earlier, back in 2018-19 when we added a significant chunk of capacity, or what is the maximum the industry can get to that we can before we have to add new capacity? Is it 500,000 or 600,000?
No, that was 480,000 was the peak the market this 18-19.
Right. So till then we are okay. We have enough capacity.
Okay.
And that level we reach peak utilization.
May not be really, sir, because that is what I think Chinmay last time explained. The company is also continuously working on. It is not the capacity what we have created 2018 continues to be there. The digitalization efforts and the automation efforts what Nagaraj presented to you a little ahead of the technology advancements will make continue to increase our capacity. And that is what is the focus that we are all working and seeing that we are ahead. We are continuously tracking the OEM demand, how it is going, and then the right time, your organization will take a decision to invest on the balancing capacity or focus on the area to make sure that we continuously deliver to the customer.
Understood. That's all, sir. Thank you so much for answering all the questions. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjay Shah from KSA Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for opportunity, sir. My question was to Mr. Muthu Kumar. Have you started getting any orders from LCV, ICV segment, and how big this segment could be in next 3-4 years? Can we expect it to cross 100 crore as Ashok Leyland and Ashok Leyland is adding new capacities into CNG, CV products, and they've launched two new models in CV, 14 ton also. So do we expect business from that side?
We are already presenting in two platforms for the ICV segment and LCV segment. We are not migrated to sub 6 cents vehicle at this point of time. And in those segments, yes, we are working. To your specific question, whether we will get into the 100 crores at this point of time, as I said, we don't specifically, but we have our own target on LCV. And at this point of time, we are on track to meet the product. Not only with Ashok Leyland, but also with Mahindra and their ICV, we have launched a product which is running very well today.
Regarding our margin, since we have our cost structure is always a low, and where we see that we can expand the margin from here, what are the initiatives we have taken to take that improve margin from here?
The entire Mission 25 objective starts with that. Continues to focus on reducing the material cost. We do the product innovation. We do the new design. We improve the reliability. Thereby, the cost of product material cost comes down. We continue to focus on manufacturing efficiency to ensure that our conversion and fixed cost efficiency goes up. These are the three. And our team, when I say manufacturing efficiency, team continuously works with suppliers, continuously work with on value engineering of the product. I think that is the reason. So we continue to focus on all the areas in terms of material, in terms of conversion, and in terms of the conversion efficiency and our productivity of the people. All these put together in all the verticals we are working, whether it is another cost, it's a travel cost, how much communication cost, in every aspect of this, the company has flight. I think Mr. Ranganathan presented in 2 quarters before on the various initiatives, not a small, even transportation cost, how we can do. In every area of this, the company is focusing on cost reduction.
Help us to bring out our variable cost down.
Yeah, I think you could have seen that our variable cost, how it has brought, came down over a period of last 2 to 3 years. Excellent amount of initiatives has been done by the plant to bring it down continuously.
My last question was regarding export. What is our percentage of sales in the export volume? And currently, how much percentage volume come from non-merit or
Sir, as we indicated, we don't give vertical-wise values at this point of time. And if you say non-military business, we supply to UDS for Thailand, which was the earlier Volvo, and those are the business that we are doing at this point of time.
Thank you.
Mr. Sam, if that answers your question?
Yes, yes. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Krishna Kukreja from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Congratulations on a great set of numbers. I had two questions, sir. We spoke about the volume versus value growth. I just wanted to get a sense of how both of these have compared over the last couple of years and if the value growth has surpassed the volume growth or vice versa. And secondly, if you could give us some guidance on the revenue growth, so what do you see it being in FY23 and 24 going ahead? That would be amazing.
See, the value growth and volume growth, Timmy has already explained. While the volume growth is about 27-28% in terms of value growth, it has gone more because of the higher realization of the product. We explained to you. In terms of the next three revenue growth, I think if you see the slides that what we are given, we always say that we outgrow. We are projecting 380,000 vehicles at the M&HCV segment. In line with that, our growth will be there. But at this point in time, because the industry volume is up and down, we don't want to commit any firm volume, value for this. But we will be outgrowing the market.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devansh Negotia from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So just wanted to understand our pricing with the OEMs. I mean, roughly our gross margins have been stable despite volatility in the steel prices over the last 6 years. So is our pricing based on a per unit basis or it's on a percentage basis? Or a markup to the raw material?
No company gives, at least in the commercial vehicle business, a markup on raw material cost. I'm sure that you all understand that. And the markup on raw material cost has to be done only by the internal improvements. At this point in time, OEMs compensate only to the, even not fully the raw material. The company continues to work on improving the product, value engineer the product, working with the sourcing, our strategic suppliers to ensure that our cost is coming down and focus on conversion efficiency to see that we offset the rest of the cost. It's a challenging. I think the way in which commodity has gone up, never gone up in the last 30 years. I'm sure that most of you know the steel prices have gone up and that is what is really putting a lot of stress into the entire system. And many suppliers who were there before COVID is not there today. The supply chain is at every company is going through a revamping of supply chain and our company is also doing the same thing to see that how we can gear up for the next wave of higher numbers that's going to come.
Okay. Because, I mean, if you look at this quarter's gross margin, material cost is around 72%. And I mean, this, and if you look at the same number 3-4 years back, used to be around 70%. And steel prices are at significantly higher level, so I'm just trying to understand, is this from the wastage control that all the efficiencies have come in or what exactly we have done here?
Our scrap has come down, our yield has improved. But still, if you see, like indicated earlier, the compensation is done only for the material cost level. So every time when the commodity increase is there, this percentage will go up, even though not the actual of the cost. These are the things that is impacting the percentage.
Just to add to what Muthu said, you know, we have been in MHCV segment quite long, and we have been working very closely with the market and with our customers. We need to succeed in the market. We need to have a very close watch on the market, what's happening in the commodity. There are a lot of procurement efficiency we bring in to ensure that these sharp prices are mitigated. That's purely our It's part of the M25 strategies and internal procurement strategies. This is also adding value to the whole process.
And if you can just elaborate on our strategy for exports, what is the target geographical area? We highlighted our existing customer in Thailand and Indonesia. But what is the bigger picture over here that, you know, that we are looking at?
See, we continue to see exports. Don't look at our direct exports. See, for example, whatever the export that is happening, like what we said, the duty trucks to Thailand, or we supply to Daimler and Daimler exports, 100% of Ashoklane export uses merit axles. These are the areas also we are doing. We are not going to the directly to OEM, but whatever the export from India, Meritor has a brand, and because of that, we are able to sell it out. But if you ask me target region-wise, while we have an internal target which we are working for North America, South America, Europe, and the APAC region, but it is very, very difficult for us to sell it out at this point of time.
Okay. Okay. So basically, these are axles supplied domestically, and the OEMs are exporting their vehicles, right?
Yeah, because you ask for Indonesian market, whatever the axle that is supplied by them, and the tipper axles, that's our product in this. The buses that goes out of Ashoklane for exports has our axle.
Okay.
It is. You have to get it through them and then get it done. And also on the commodity, when you ask, it is the right time that when the market is at a highly volatile and things. We work very closely with the customers and make sure that we build confidence to them so that tomorrow we will have a very strong relationship with, make a win-win partnership with them. So it's very easy to go and get the commodity prices at this time or push it, but at least we want to be a partner with them to make them to win so that our business grows along with the customers. Everyone needs to support each other in this tough situation to see that at the end of the day, the overall Indian business goes up and customers get benefited.
Okay, got it. Thanks a lot, sir.
Okay. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shashank Kanodia from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. So firstly, just I'm a bit curious to know, because of this global transaction when companies acquiring monitoring stake, wouldn't that trigger an open offer for the Indian entity?
No, maybe, at this moment of time, as Kenya already mentioned, the regulatory process, the legal process are going on currently. As far as the what's going to happen, how things are going to shape up, we have to wait. So at this moment of time, whatever the procedure be followed as per the SEBI or any other guidelines, that will be followed. So time being, we have no idea, and we wanted to keep aside for answering this question for time being until a proper dialogue or discussion is happening between the two entities in India.
Because sir, my understanding is that it's a part of indirect acquisition, so we could have, there was an expectation that some sort of initial note be circulated by the new promoters of Automotive Axles.
We might have a little bit of patience until the cow comes home, so let's wait for one more quarter and let's see the details. And
okay, and secondly, sir, you have been advocator of E-Axle as a product. So could you please specify, have you started supplying E-Axles to any of the Indian OEMs or supplying buses in the electric segment?
Not yet. We are in discussion with many customers. We are not supplied anything yet.
Okay. Sure, sir. Thank you so much. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amin Pirani from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, sorry for that. Sorry for repeating this question because I joined a bit late. You mentioned in your presentation that you have been increasing the share of renewable sources for your energy, and you also have a captive solar. So out of the 55% in FY22, can you give a breakup of how much is coming from solar and other sources?
I think if you see our presentation between FY20 to FY22, our consumption also has gone up. At this point of time, we are about 30 to 35%, which is a renewable energy which is coming from solar. On top of this, we get about 3 to 4% of the hydel power, which is not a continuous model, but depending on the monsoon and local. But however, our company is working on adding up more facilities for solar with a partnership confirmed. And we will ensure that we increase this consumption of solar to about 70 to 75% in the years to come by 2025 or 2026. But at this point, we also know that we have a wind power
which is getting us about 7% of the power consumption. So all these things are working.
Okay. The reason I'm asking this question is because obviously in the near term, there is a lot of concern around thermal power and grid power. So are you facing any, downtime in terms of production because of that? And, how does that change your, because I'm assuming that power is, a significant input in your production process. How does that change? And are you having to use, backup power like diesel gensets and all that?
The power requirement is very, very huge for our organization because continuous spending at this. We don't have a 100% power backup, but we have a dedicated line of level. It's a 66 kVA line for our plant, like a high consumption line, so that normally we don't get impacted because of the power cuts that is being imposed across. But as a country, yes, our exposure to thermal power is more. But at this point of time, the places where we are working, like Karnataka, the government is proactive and trying to see that we don't have that much of impact at this point of time.
Okay, sure, sir. Thanks for the response. I'll come back in the
queue. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sailesh Raja for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you all for attending this session. We especially thank the Automotive Access team for their time. Pinaya, sir, any closing comment you'd like to make?
No, I think, nothing more from my side. I think thank you very much for the continued support and we hope we will continue to perform to your expectations. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Batliwala and Karani Securities, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.